Almost live from a very cool corner in Midtown Sacramento. It's the Nate Darling Show. Halloween edition. A show so scary that Christiana couldn't be here because she was too frightened and she pooped herself. Or at least she was too frightened to come. With Ted Sampson and Becca Costello. Hello, everybody. And me. It's Nate. Yeah, it's the Halloween show. You can talk, Becca. It's okay. Hey, happy Wednesday, everybody.
Woohoo!
Day before Halloween. Got a lot of stuff going on. We've got a full Halloween show for you with spooks, goblins, and other sorts of Halloween treats. Right now, it's Michael Jackson to sing for you. Evil's lurking. It's true. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about some of the most popular Halloween costumes. An apology already for Halloween costume, plus black cats and horror films. Mwah!
Mwah! I think sum total owned by members of this podcast, what do we have, three black cats among us?
I have one.
We have two. So, three black cats to one podcast.
Yes.
Three. Like the count.
Hold on. Oh, Michael Jackson. You're still dead.
He's still awesome, though.
And still dead.
That, too. But that's appropriate for Halloween.
Yeah.
He's thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm. You made a comeback for Halloween as a zombie. It'd be awesome. I'd go see that concert.
Would it be?
It would be. Trust me.
Okay.
Or scary.
It would be weird.
It would be weird.
I don't know if he could hit the notes, but then again, Elton John can't. So, I mean, what's really the bad thing? So, it's the time of year when there used to be horror films that came out. Now there's no horror films.
Wait, Carrie.
Yeah,
it's
a movie that they remade of a classic movie. But there's no good new scary movies. But I found this trailer that I found a little bit terrifying.
V. Taunted his whole life.
Hey, stupid!
Destined to be alone. He cared for.
You don't know what love is.
Pushed him aside.
She was my special friend.
My only friend.
And sent him over the edge.
Mom always says dying was a part of life.
Boris, what are you doing here? You can't keep doing this all the time.
I can't help it. Jenny, I write you all the time.
You just stay away from me, please.
Bye-bye, Jenny. Bye-bye.
I wanted to be your boyfriend.
I'm not a smart man.
Stay away from me.
But I know what love is.
Why don't you love me, Jenny?
Forrest Gump. Wow. Fatal Obsession. Can't get enough Gump Week. Forrest Gump. Every night at 8. All this week on AMC.
So AMC made Forrest Gump into a horror film.
Love it. That was fantastic. Wow. It's like Norman Bates meets the dude from Sling Blade. I don't know.
Y'all got some French fried taters.
Mama. Mm-hmm. What, mama? What is that?
So last week, have you guys heard of Riff Tracks?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the Twilight Riff Tracks?
I have not seen the Twilight
it's
Riff
fantastic.
Tracks.
It's fantastic. I recommend it to everyone.
But I did go to see Riff Tracks live, Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, how fun.
Last week. And yeah, if you haven't seen Riff Tracks, it's the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000. And they do it as part of Phantom Events. And Phantom Events are live things that are done and sent out to movie theaters across North America all at the same time, live, thus the name. And so, yeah, Night of the Living Dead. And here's what I will say about, first of all, the crowd. I have never seen so many fat, bearded dudes with ponytails in one spot in my whole life. Oh my God. It was like comic book guy started cloning himself and couldn't stop.
It was worst crowd ever.
Worst crowd ever. And such a nerd. I mean, nerd fest ever. It was like if I had a lightsaber, I would have been one of them. But I didn't.
But did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Well, then they have good taste.
It was fantastic.
These nerds.
I questioned why, because here's the thing. I'm not really a nerd or a geek or anything of that nature, but I'm like, okay, so what is it about this? And I asked my friend Jay, who's he's a bit of a nerd himself, and he goes, oh, well, Snark has its own audience. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Nerds love Snark. So that's where it comes from. Have you guys seen Night of the Living Dead, the original?
Oh, yeah.
Once upon a time.
Several times.
The recurring theme of the riff was that it was really a movie about carpentry.
Oh, because they're like tearing down the house and doing extreme makeover.
Trying to board things up all the time.
Right.
But the one thing that didn't catch on in horror films later is the black guy made it through to the end. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, he did. Night of the Living Dead, the original one, is actually just, I think it's a really fantastic movie. And Riff Trax usually pokes fun, I feel like, at movies that are of questionable quality. But they did a good job with a movie that is already awesome.
That movie sucks.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
That movie is terrible.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's awful.
No, it's still terrifying, and it was made on, like, no budget in black and white, and it set the stage for so many movies to come. It's extremely influential.
The movie is terrible.
Fight.
It's a terrible movie.
Well, everybody who listens to this podcast knows that we rarely agree on entertainment. So I will let it go.
And I believe you set it up properly when you said they normally make fun of movies that are of questionable quality.
I think I was just about to say, I think everyone agrees, and that's obviously not true.
No,
because Nate does not agree. Ted?
I haven't seen it recently enough to have an opinion, so okay. I cannot help.
It's campy. I'll give you it's campy, but it's not a good, the acting is bad. The way it's shot is kind of okay. There's nothing I would say is good about it. I mean, it was the first zombie movie, I believe.
Troll 2, we can agree on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hold up the way, say, the original Psycho does as a horror movie. That's a great horror movie.
Okay, I can see what you're saying, but I still find Night of the Living Dead to be scary, and given that it was just made with, like, a no-budget kind of thing instead of, like, you know, a very famous director and a Hollywood budget, I don't know. I think it does very well for what it is. And it has spawned a bazillion, you know, remakes and cast-offs and cast-offs. That's not the right word. It launched an entire genre. Look at how big zombies are now, you know?
Yeah, it only took 42 years.
Yeah, and how many Night of the Living Dead remakes have they made, like, and sequels? Like, so many.
Nah, just a couple. And he made one of them, so it's not like it's like, oh my god, they did it. It's just zombies caught on at some point for some inexplicable reason. People love putting on the makeup and wandering around. And I mean, The Walking Dead is one of the most popular shows on TV.
That's true. And you know, Sacramento is, we are the home of the original zombie parade. They do those all over the world now, but we invented it here in Sacramento.
Yeah, something to be proud of.
I'm proud.
Sure. Anyway, let's move on from that. Riff Trax, if you get a chance, if you liked Mystery Science Theater 3000, you will enjoy Riff Trax because they're right there. It's kind of a cool thing where they, if you haven't seen one, what they'll do is they'll have the movie full screen for a bit once they start, and then they'll go back and they'll have it like on one third of the screen. Then they'll have the three guys stacked in video boxes on the side so that you can see them riffing as the movie is playing. So it's done really well. They've done a lot of them now. The last one they did was Starship Troopers, I believe, was the last one in the theater that they did.
Oh, I thought they only did bad movies.
Starship
Troopers is a classic.
Sure.
I like it.
Well, it's okay to like bad things. I keep telling people that. You can like things that are bad. There's nothing wrong with that. I like Kiss. Kiss is not a great musical act.
Oh, there are a lot of things I like that are bad. I just didn't think that Night of the Living Dead was a thing that was bad. I don't know. I don't like it because it's bad. I think it's genuinely scary.
No, and you can, and there's nothing wrong with liking it. There's nothing wrong with liking things that some people find bad either.
Wow.
I like a lot of stuff that people think is bad.
This is like a Mr. Rogers
like
moment.
Maybe your shirt.
This was a gift.
The radio audience can't see it.
How dare you?
I know. I shouldn't say that because I think it's actually a perfect gift for you. I know that I know that you love it. And I think, you know, that your friend who got it for you knows you well and did a perfect friend thing to give it to you.
Sure.
But I don't know. I'm staring at it and I feel a little bit ashamed.
Oh, because
for who or what, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, because it's about the evolving hairstyles, shall we say, of the Amsterdam sex worker.
I believe what it says is pussy evolution in the red light district, and it goes from the 60s until, well, I can't really see the other side. Oh, to the double aughts, the
sure
2000s, the yeah.
Aughts. Yes, from gigantic 60s bush down to sort of a clean slate, if you will.
Is it completely clean, or is there a little landing strip?
No, the landing strip is in the 90s.
Yeah, the landing strip is the 90s.
That's so 90s.
And then there's just nothing.
So what is it for the 10s now? I just can't tell.
Well, I don't think you can go any further.
Well, there's got to be a way.
I think
science will find a way.
And the 90s girl has a little meat on her bones, but by the 2000s, they're just super skinny. Hmm. So there's that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no awesome thing about that.
Have you been to the red light district?
I've not
been.
Anybody? I've not. No.
I have.
Oh.
Well, I think that was just a way to sort of throw that out there, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, no, because I found that it was not. Well, I don't know. I didn't think that it was a very sexy place to be, and I just wondered if it looks different from men's eyes.
Well, no. I think that depends on how much blood has gone away from the men brain.
Yeah, that could be.
At that point.
I just thought that the girls didn't look very happy. Like, they're kind of in their windows, and there's all the, like, red light neon around, you know, and they're in these windows, and they're in their lingerie, but they just kind of look...
Bored?
They're bored or depressed, yeah, and the... You know, guys are kind of like, woo, like walking down the streets. But yeah, the girls just look like, whatever. And I guess I thought they would kind of be like more like, hi, sailor, like waving and winking and stuff. But no, not really at all.
They're like a high-end boutique. They're like, if you can come in if you want, but I'm not going to treat you nice.
Pretty much.
Yeah. The next Riff Tracks Live is December 5th. And it's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Is that also a great piece of cinema? You'd like to defend?
I don't
now.
Think I've seen it.
Oh, okay,
it just perpetuates the war on Christmas, though. That's why I have a problem with that movie.
But Santa wins. It sounds like because he conquers. It's not versus. He conquers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the war it's on right Mars. There. Then why is the Christmas taking on science in this fashion? Am I?
I don't know.
Track
we
here?
Should maybe we should have a podcast outing.
Yay! I love podcast outings. Can we see it in D box?
No, I don't believe they do the D box.
I want to ride Santa's sleigh and shoot aliens.
I'm pretty sure Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is not remastered for that.
Oh,
but I don't know what would happen. It would be like the thing shakes when they make a bad pun.
Right.
Whoa, that was That was the best part when one of them would make a terrible pun. The other two would like point off stage, and the one who made the pun would hang his head in shame and walk away.
Oh,
and come back. So.
Huh.
Yeah,
that's
funny.
So Riff Tracks Live, go see it. It's fun if you like Mystery Science Theater 3000. If you're one of our younger listeners and you have no idea what that is, bite me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Look it up on
or
Wikipedia.
Look it up on YouTube because it's really fun.
Maybe the kids don't use YouTube anymore.
Oh, well, they probably don't.
They've moved past it.
Like they watch Vine in just 6 seconds and then it's over. They're done.
Mm-hmm. Watch 6 seconds of it. You'll be hooked.
Well, with Halloween upon us, HuffPost Weird News has assembled a list of 13 horror films that were inspired by disturbing real-life events.
Oh.
The films aren't the best or the worst, but the fact that they're based on real-life horror stories only makes them more chilling. One of them is The Conjuring, which was released in 2013, starring Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. Famigia?
I do not know how to say that. I know who you're talking about.
Femgina.
Close enough. playing right. Paranormal investigators. It was based on some stuff in New England in the 50s.
I never saw The Conjuring.
Did not either. The Exorcism of Emily Rose is another one based on that. Roger Ebert called it an intriguing and perplexing movie. Released in 2005, follows the trial of Father Richard Moore, who is a priest, played by actor Tom Wilkinson, who's charged with a negligent homicide and the death of Emily Rose, a young girl supposedly died as a result of a failed exorcism. I doubt if that was what was autopsy. That's it.
Oh, autopsy.
Another movie, Eaten Alive, directed by Toby Hooper.
It's a
1977 horror film. Follows the story of a Texas hotel owner who had a penchant for murder and feeds his victims to a large pet crocodile.
Oh, man, you're not going to get all the return guests that way, mister.
As one does, the film is said to be inspired by Joe Ball, a bootlegger and alleged serial killer who operated the Sociable Inn in Elmendorf, Texas, in the early 1900s. The DVD release also includes a mini documentary about Ball. Truth be told, the only similarity between him and his supposed movie counterpart is that both men have an apparent affection for crocodiles.
So, okay.
The Mothman Prophecies is another one. I'm not going to go through the full descriptions. Jaws would probably be the best known one based on real events because there are sharks. The Amityville Horror, which was debunked afterward, but about the Lutz family and the strange manifestations they allegedly witnessed when they moved into a New York home where a family was brutally murdered, based on the book of the same name that was published in 1977. The book is really scary. The book included a series of scenes evocative of several successful horror films, most notably The Exorcist. Nonetheless, since his jacket was emblazoned with the words "True Story," the book was placed in the true crime section in bookstores around the world. Not true. Made up. There was a multiple murder there, but and my friend Jay used to live in Amityville, and if people would stop by to look at the house, and they've changed everything. It doesn't look like it did in the movie or anything like that. But if you go on YouTube, speaking of, and look for Amityville Horror House, there are several clips of local residents yelling profanities at people who come by to take pictures.
Hi, Vesmer.
Well,
get off that line.
It's the friendliness of New York. The Girl Next Door is another one, 2007 film based on real events. The Blob, of course.
What?
From 1958.
Okay, how is that real?
Mm-hmm. The independent film, which was Steve McQueen's debut leading role, is about a growing amoeba-like alien that comes to Earth from outer space that wreaks havoc on a small community of Downington, Pennsylvania.
Is it like a metaphor for Eisenhower or something? What are we talking about?
Communism, I think.
It was supposedly based on reports about a mysterious gelatinous purple object that crashed in a farmer's field outside Philadelphia in 1950. The discovery was noted in the New York Times article on September 28, 1950. According to the article, two Philadelphia police officers saw the object float down to Earth, but were unable to pick it up. The part touched by his hand dissolved, leaving a sticky, odorless residue. Within a half hour, the entire object had evaporated. The FBI was notified, but when they went to examine the find, there was nothing left but a spot on the ground.
That's really a stretch to get to the Blob.
Hey, Nightmare on Elm Street?
Because people have nightmares in their Elm Street.
Shut the door. What are you talking about?
Shut the door?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's
this is my number one scariest movie of all time, and I don't want to think that it is at all real.
In a series of articles in the LA Times about men from Southeast Asia who were immigrant families and had died in the middle of nightmares, one was the son of a physician who was about 21. Everyone in his family said almost exactly these lines. "You must sleep." He said, "No, you don't understand. I've had nightmares before, but this is different." He was given sleeping pills and told to take them. Everyone went to bed thinking it was all over. In the middle of the night, they heard screams and crashing. They went into his room, and by the time they got to him, he was dead. They had an autopsy performed, and there was no heart attack. He just died for unexplained reasons.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, shut up.
So that's stop sleeping.
That's the inspiration. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, Texas.
Yeah.
You're gross.
That's another Tobe Hooper film from 1974. Primeval from 2007, based on real events. The Haunting in Connecticut. The Exorcist.
Ew. You know what? I lied when I said, like, Nightmare on Elm Street is my number one scary movie that I can stand to watch, and The Exorcist is my number one scary movie that I cannot watch.
Oh, I've never actually watched The Exorcist.
I will never watch it again. I could never get through it as a child or a teenager, and I forced myself to go see it in the theaters when they had a remake. Oh, God, I hate this song. Tubular Bells, it's so horrible. Oh, my God, my heart is just like boom, boom, boom. And so they had a remake sometime when I was in my 20s, and it was in the theaters, and I was like, I'm going to go see this movie because I'm not going to let it defeat me. And I went and I made myself watch the whole thing and not close my eyes. And then I went home and I had trouble sleeping forever. And it was like the grossest thing I ever saw. And I later found out that this movie was in theaters, I believe, when my mom was pregnant with me. And
I know
she went to see it in the theaters. So I think I actually have like an in utero terror of this song and the movie. And I can't get over it. It's so gross.
Is this why you're going to seminary to do exorcisms?
No, not at all.
Okay, but if they come up, you can do one.
No, I'm not that kind of reverend.
Now, are you talking about The Exorcist that scares you to death? Or are you talking about Halloween? Because this is the music from Halloween.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Ah.
What's the song from The Exorcist is not this song, but Halloween scares me. You're right. But The Exorcist also has like an instrumental stressful song.
Oh, yeah, they all do.
Yeah.
That's Friday the 13th, I think.
But yeah, no, Halloween, the original Halloween is really scary. That stupid Michael Myers mask, it's a William Shatner mask inside out and painted white, but it's so terrifying.
Fun fact.
I know. I used to watch horror movies all the time as like a teenager to try and sort of like get over being scared of them, and then I gave up, and now I just don't watch them at all.
Well, here's the thing about horror movies. They seem to have morphed from just to the idea being to scare you to being the idea is it's almost a torture porn.
Yeah, yeah. I hate it.
Like Saw.
The Saw movies.
Oh, I can't watch those at all.
Cabin in the Woods, that sort of thing.
Cabin in the Woods is good.
Cabin in the Woods at least was funny. I went and saw that one with friends and braced myself. I think that's the only horror movie I've seen in years because I really can't stand them anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm old school. I like the suggestion of terror more than I like a whole bunch of gore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Saw movies, I don't know.
Human Centipede, huh?
I did see Human Centipede.
Oh, no, I can't watch that. Gross. I listened one time. I sat down. And I turned on Comedy Central, and I was going to eat dinner and watch TV.
Sure.
And it was just Daniel Tosh explaining Human Centipede for like 5 minutes. Like, he goes through the whole entire film and everything that happens in it. And I just sat there, and I couldn't take a bite of my dinner, and I just covered it in plastic and put it back in the fridge. Best diet ever. So
twisted,
that's as
twisted.
Far as I got to watching that movie was, oh, and I saw the South Park episode that was based on it, and that was plenty.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's
super disgusting.
Not a good movie.
And apparently they made a sequel, which Ted has also watched.
The sequel is even, I skimmed through it because I had to see what they're doing. It was ridiculous.
And now they're making a third one, I believe.
Like,
it's just every single one is like, we're going to sew even more people together.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Do you know, well, the first one was only three, so right. That's not really a centipede.
How many was the second one?
He must have had like at least 12 people. Anyway, this dude was just fucked up beyond all reason.
Well, and it's a different one because, spoiler alert, the guy who does it in the first movie gets shot.
Right.
He's killed.
So somehow they have to keep inventing new characters who also think of this idea, but with more people.
Well, the premise was that like this the dude who did it this in the second one was like watching a movie, and the movie, Human Centipede, was inspired by the movie. Well, in this universe, it was a movie, so
sure.
He did it in real life.
And who wouldn't be?
Oh, yeah.
This looks like a great idea.
So some people
I gotta bring some friends over.
All right, let's lighten the mood a little bit.
Okay.
With a Halloween song.
Oh, no.
I know, it sounds scary. But then you realize that it's by Aqua.
And Jason Voorhees.
Although for some people, hearing Aqua sort of is a horror movie.
That's true.
I got you tickets to a concert. It's front row at Aqua.
You know what scary song I only just remembered from like way back in the day was the with DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah.
Did Nightmare on My Street.
That's
yeah.
That's a pretty fun song.
It's pretty good, yeah.
I don't know if I'd call that scary.
No. Well, it is because I was going to say I have a thing for Freddy Krueger, but that sounds wrong. That sounds like I want to date him.
Mm-hmm.
He terrifies me. I've literally written poetry about how much he terrifies me.
Well, that's what I do when I'm scared is write
right?
poetry.
Yeah.
You and I right there.
Nah.
I made a little comic book about it, too.
It's pretty good.
There you go. All right. This is kind of unfortunate, but black cats are less than half as likely to be adopted as gray cats.
Boo.
Racist America.
That's right. They have such a hard time getting adopted that some shelters offer reduced adoption prices or free spaying and neutering. In fact, I got half at a discount price. Because
he's black?
Yeah. They had.
Oh, I remember that.
They had the pets in black.
Oh.
So he was half price.
It's like a Black Friday, but for cats.
And
Cat Friday.
And since then, they've had black. Any animal with like black in its fur was free.
Oh, wow.
And all the animals from the shelters come spayed and neutered and with shots. So heck of a deal. But here's how likely animals are to be adopted. So the most likely color cat to be adopted is white.
Oy vey.
Then color point. I'm not quite sure what that is.
Color point? I don't know what that is either.
I don't either.
It's not flame point.
No. Gray is next. And then tabby is the baseline. Then below that, tabby with blue, solid with white, tortoise shell, Black and White, Tabby with Red, Black Cats, and the least likely cat to get adopted. Not a black cat, but a brown cat.
Like a Siamese?
I don't know. It just says brown cat.
Okay.
So,
wow.
And of the survey, 26% of people say that color was important or very important when adopting a new cat. 24% said they felt neutral about the color. And half, that would be the people who know what they're talking about, said that color not really important. Because your cat's not really an accessory.
Black goes with everything.
It's true.
It's funny. I've had many cats in my life, and I've never cared about color until I moved in with Ted. And Ted has had this streak of black cats, and so we knew that the next cat we got had to be black. So the one time we chose based on color, we chose black.
Yeah.
The first two cats I adopted by myself were black cats, and they just happened to be a matching pair of cats that were black, and I adopted them, and I liked them very much. And our first cat my family ever had was a black cat, so I thought, I've had good luck with black cats, so I'm going to keep going. So then Pumpkin and then Peanut are black, and then Pinto's black.
Yes.
And then we have Kiki, who's gray and white.
Yes. But she we found on the street, so right. That was different.
Exactly.
But I read once, because I've read about this phenomenon before of people not adopting black cats, and I read that one shelter on the East Coast had success with a campaign they ran that was called Adopt a Mini Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess by remarketing black kittens as mini panthers, they flew off the shelves. So
that's funny.
Black cats just need better PR, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, from my experience, most of the black cats I've come across have been very sweet and lovey cats. Not necessarily the smartest. But very affectionate nonetheless. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons I chose Hef, was not just because he was half off, but mostly because he seemed to be very sweet and sociable and got along and so on and so forth. And so that worked. And that's really how you should pick out your pet, is does their personality fit what you're looking for? You know, if you're somebody who's going to sit around and do nothing all day, then you probably don't want a golden retriever. As pretty as they might be, probably not the best pet for you. Conversely, if you get headaches, a little yippy dog, probably not the best plan either.
Ugh, when's that a good plan ever?
Oh, Ted.
I'm hating on little yippy dogs for some reason.
I don't know why. It's terrible.
Tools. Okay.
The Nate Darling Show.
Oh, that's a segue.
Cool.
You're psychic.
Or tools.
Like I read the press.
All right, first up in cooler tools, zombies. Ted.
You know, zombies are a little overdone and kind of disgusting and not very clever. I'm going to go tool on the zombies.
Becca?
Zombies are totally tool. They don't really have much personality, and they're kind of gross, and they spread disease, and they want to eat people's brains.
Yeah, it's... Zombies are totally over. Tool.
Yeah. What's in vampires? Is that the cool thing? Anyone? Okay.
I guess it depends on who you ask.
The Blob? I don't know. Okay.
Up next. Cooler tool. Scary movies. Scary movies, Becca.
Tool. Let's not watch each other get cut up.
Ted?
I think a well-done scary movie can be cool. So this the concept of a good scary movie. I'll go cool. That's good.
Yeah, I agree with Ted. I think a really good scary movie like the Friday the 13th movies, the first Friday the 13th movie is fantastic. Love that movie. I'll watch that again and again. The first Halloween movie I'll watch over and over again. But I have no interest in seeing your slasher porn.
Yeah.
And finally, in cooler tool, black cats. Ted?
I'm going to say cool, though Pinto has been something of a tool lately. But overall, black cats are cool.
Becca?
Oh, I think we're a pretty biased sample here. I have to say cool.
Yeah, black cats are for the most part pretty cool, except when they're douchebags about it.
Speaking of which, I wonder if Ace is going to bob for apples in honor of Halloween today.
No more apples.
No more apples, okay. Did he finish them all last week?
No, there would be one left if he hadn't destroyed it. But that's it.
That was the best.
Yeah, it was awesome. it was great.
Yeah.
If you didn't catch last week's episode, last Wednesday's episode in particular, I had some apples over on the counter, and all of a sudden Ace knocked one of the apples on the floor, then proceeded to use it as a cat toy and at one point carrying it around by the stem in his teeth.
And it's like, it was bigger, like a little bigger than his head, I think. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Or about the size of his head? It was just a remarkable thing to see a cat carrying an apple around.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We all laughed. Ha ha ha. Except for Nate.
Yeah, I didn't laugh. I was wanted to, I'm like, is there a bite taken out of that?
Yeah.
No, it was just a giant bruise from where you just kicked the crap out of my apple.
Isn't that why I went to the farmer's market, to get apples for your cats?
Yeah, that's exactly why I did it.
I knew it.
You got me.
I know you. spoil your cats.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Fresh produce. Okay.
Yeah. So, Becca, you like Orange is the New Black, right?
I do.
Have you considered dressing up as an Orange is the New Black sort of person for Halloween?
I haven't. I have a totally different costume, but okay. I can respect why someone would choose that, because you essentially just wear like a comfy jumpsuit and you don't really have to do your hair.
Although sometimes you do, because
I guess it depends on which character you choose. Some people had cornrows and all kinds of elaborate things on that show.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julianne Hough decided to go ahead and do Orange is the New Black, but she dressed up as Suzanne Crazy Eyes Warren from the comedy Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I believe I see where the problem is almost immediately.
Yeah, because Crazy Eyes Black, Julianne is a blonde Mormon, but that was easily solved with some dark makeup on her face and her blonde hair, also darkened, worn in Crazy Eyes signature knots. Criticism on the internet, as always, swift and sharp on social media and websites after photos from the party hit the internet. Here are some of the quotes. Julianne Hough wore blackface to a party? Nothing screams Halloween like a good old-fashioned racism.
Nah.
Also, new favorite part of Halloween is seeing what celebrities are stupid enough to go blackface. Thanks, Julianne Hough. Actress Martha Plimpton was not amused, posting on Twitter, "Well, this was fun. Any hoozles, no blackface for white peoples. Kay? Yay! Great. Have a great weekend, everybody." Hough tried to stem the backlash by issuing an apology. She said, quote, "I am a huge fan of the show Orange is the New Black. Actress Uzo Aduba and the character she has created," she wrote, "it certainly was never my intention to be disrespectful or demeaning to anyone in any way. I realize that my costume hurt and offended people, and I truly apologize." No apology was necessary for some folks like Aaron, who posted this on E's comment board. Quote, "I think people should just shut up and stop acting like this is so offensive, because it's not." Uh-huh. "She was dressing up as a character from a TV show, and she's not blackface. She's just really tan, and you don't see us white folks freaking out about Michael Jackson painting his face white permanently, do you? No. So chill the blank out and stop bashing her for going as one of her favorite characters."
What the hell are you talking about, you Aaron? Michael Jackson did not paint his face white. Didn't you watch his interview with Oprah Winfrey? She's not blackface. She's just really tan. Nothing really made sense. Tan. Why are people so dumb?
I don't know, but that's a good question.
Thanks.
Answer it. Sorry about that, says Julianne Hough.
Look how tan she looks.
She's obviously not trying to be tanned. I mean, we know what character she's portraying, and that is a great character, and I think Crazy Eyes is a great costume, but you have to... I am really surprised that no bells went off. I mean, Julie, she may be Mormon or from a small town or something, but I mean, she's been in the public eye for a really long time. You have to know that this is not going to be a smart move.
Yeah, but she's a dancer / actress.
So
slash
she
singer.
Can not be aware of racism?
Apparently she can not be aware of racism.
Wow.
Because she went out in blackface.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that would be a really fun Halloween costume. I mean, if she had left the makeup off altogether and just done her hair in the knots and worn the orange jumpsuit, it would have been fine. You know, it would have been a fitting tribute. And I don't know. I mean, I believe that she really loves the character and didn't mean anything by it.
I think you're right.
But you just can't get away with that in America right now.
At least she apologized and said, I'm sorry if you were offended.
No, she didn't say that. She actually said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it was a legitimate apology.
Yeah. You know, we can move on now. Right.
Let's move on.
I mean, we don't have to condemn this lady.
Oh, no.
Hey, here are the top 10 costumes for this year, if you're still looking for one.
As in most popular or good ideas? Or...
Top 10 costumes for 2013.
I hope blackface isn't one of them.
Number 10, Ted.
Ah, I knew it. You have to get glasses.
And you grow a beard.
And lose some hair.
No. It's the teddy bear.
Oh, that's Ted.
From the movie.
Oh.
It is one of the more pricey costumes, which comes in at around 100 euros.
That's not even real money. No, it's not.
The giant teddy bear will most certainly keep you toasty on a cool Halloween night or a hot, sweaty mess at the house party. Number 9, Katy Perry.
Ooh.
Which I guess you just do your hair and dress kind of whorish.
And stuff like your bra, candy
themes or something, yeah.
And yeah, go chesty.
Number 8, American football player.
By which you mean a football player.
Just any American football player?
Yeah. Well,
this is from Ireland, but I think it means for the whole world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number 7, the oldie but a goodie Britney Spears schoolgirl outfit.
Still?
Is that like a Catholic girl outfit?
Yeah, it's sort of a Catholic schoolgirl outfit.
But she has like the shirt tied above her belly button, and then she has kind of like pink little I don't know what you call them, like hair clips in her braid.
Oh.
It's kind of distinctive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I mean, that wasn't even relevant like 10 years ago. Is that really still a thing?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's from the internet, honey.
Mm-hmm. Number 6, Twilight Vampires.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this article from this year?
It is.
It's the lazy alternative to actually dressing up as a vampire.
Number 5, Scream Mask.
Lazy.
What? No, this article, I swear, they wrote this article like 15 years ago, and then they just update one a year. The one current one is Ted.
Nope. Number 4, Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Which one? The hazmat, I guess.
Well, yeah. You just shave your head and wear glasses.
Oh, I'm almost there.
And you could just wear your underwear. You could do a lot of different Walter
There's
Whites.
There's a lot of... You could do a whole group of Walter Whites.
Yeah.
Number 3, Miley Cyrus.
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm. VMA.
Stick your tongue out.
Yep. Number 2, gangster / criminal.
Like an old-timey gangster?
Yeah. You could do Sopranos. You could do Boardwalk Empire. You could do jogging suit gangster. You could do 20s gangster.
Gangster of love.
You could do the gangster of love. Or the space cowboy.
I want to be a space cowboy. That sounds like fun.
And the number 1 Halloween costume. By the way, it's so over. Zombie!
What? I can see that, though. Isn't that...
It probably is the most popular because it's not very hard.
And you can be creative in what limbs you have or don't have.
By the way, let me just say this. If you do a zombie walk throughout the year at any point, or once a month, or whatever,
once a month,
you can't be a fucking zombie on Halloween too.
That's right.
Then you're just being lazy. Now it's gone from a costume to a fetish. Is what's happened there? You have a problem. Seek some professional help.
Nate, are you dressing up this year?
There is a costume contest at work.
Ooh.
So I will be doing something.
Is it a secret?
Do you have to keep
it
a secret?
I don't have to, but I'm going to.
Okay.
We'll see pictures on Facebook or something, right?
Maybe. Oh. Maybe.
Ted and I dressed up last week because we had a Halloween event, and I think we're just doing a repeat on Halloween.
Yeah, we'll post pictures on the Nate Darling page because everyone wants to see our costumes, right?
We'll put them on the Facebook page.
Yeah,
on
Facebook page.
And by the way, here's a Halloween themed movie. It's not Halloween. It's a scary movie, though. If you haven't seen Candyman. The original Candyman.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
That is a scary-ass movie.
All those Oompa Loompas freaks me out.
It's old now, but, I mean...
No, it's scary.
It's scary.
Yeah.
And they did other Candyman after that, but it's like, just look in the mirror.
And then he became a rapper, right? I'm thinking of a different Candyman.
You're thinking of Chris Brown.
Oh!
Who spent the weekend in jail.
Oh, Chris.
Oh, Chris.
So I have a question. Now, suppose someone needs to get a Halloween costume in time for Halloween, but they haven't shopped for them yet. What do they do?
Well, I think you're fucked at this point because tomorrow's Halloween.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, you're screwed.
What could they have done?
Start on shopping for next year.
Well, you know what I would do? I would start Christmas shopping at this point, or Hanukkah shopping.
Yeah, Hanukkah's early this year. It's in November, so you have to, if you have a Jewish boyfriend, for example, you have to remember that it's not close to Christmas this year. It's in November.
It actually starts... On Halloween, on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would go to NateDarlingShow.com and click the Shop Amazon tab.
Oh.
Because it helps support the show, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Not even your soul.
And you'll get it in time to give your boyfriend a gift on Hanukkah instead of just a sort of like, happy winter holidays gift, which I have done some years when I've missed the first day of Hanukkah.
Oh, you have 8 days of Hanukkah to give a gift. There's no...
That's
not
true.
Do the first night.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
There's no excuse.
By the way, I was in Bed Bath & Beyond the other day. Speaking of Hanukkah.
Were you shopping for Bed Bath or Beyond?
I was just in Natomas because I wanted to go to Burlington Coat Factory because I hadn't been to one. And I'm like, oh, I'll go check it out. I'm never going to Burlington Coat Factory again, by the way. It's just like Ross, but worse.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's basically the place where people who don't know any better go to take clothes off of the racks and then throw them over the racks or under the racks when they're done.
Do the employees look super sad? Because I always think the employees in Ross look so sad.
I didn't really see any other than the ones that were doing the checkouts because there was nobody out on the floor helping people.
Is Burlington like they use second, like used, not used items, but slightly irregular items or whatever?
No, I think it's style? I think it's like TJ Maxx in terms of what they do. It's like last year's stuff or overbooked stuff or whatever. But I'd never been in one before. So I'm like, oh, let me go in and look. And I'm like, oh, this is what it is. Okay. I don't. Okay.
Welcome, but then you went to Bed Bath & Beyond and everything was great.
I hit a bunch of stores there and bought nothing. But Bed Bath & Beyond, and here's why I bring it up, because you were mentioning Hanukkah.
Thank you. Well pronounced, good sir.
They have a little Hanukkah display right in the front of the store where you can buy everything from Hanukkah lights that you would string up to a musical, I believe it's a musical dreidel. And my favorite thing was insulated cups. They're Tervis cups. They're plastic, double-walled plastic, and they're insulated with the Star of David instead of like a sports logo team in there.
Oh.
Sports team logo.
It's a generic Jew cup, apparently.
It is.
It's a Jew mug.
I pondered getting you one, and then I thought, no, that's way too stereotypical.
I don't really know anyone who just walks around with like Star of David paraphernalia. Because there was like the time when Jews had to wear this.
You know. Oh, the star. That's kind of true, but
so is it
it's
weird
not yellow,
to walk around? Yeah, it's not yellow. Is it weird to like walk around with it like a badge at this point?
I don't know. It's like, would you buy a cup with like a crucifix on it? Just
I guess
around?
Some people would have like stuff with crosses on it if you were really, but you would be sort of fundamentalist at that point. I think you would, or that's the image you'd be projecting. So
it's weird. I don't know. I wouldn't buy it personally, but I have no beef with the Jewish star.
Did they have chocolate gold?
I didn't really get that far into it.
Because we need to pick some of that up for Hanukkah.
For some dreidel.
Some hot dreidel action.
Hot dreidel. Go for a spin.
They totally might have that. I don't know. But
we should invent strip dreidel.
Yeah, that can't be that hard.
Yeah, like if it lands on shin, then you have to take something off. If it lands on hay, you put it half back on. I don't know.
It's a work in progress.
Okay, we'll work on it.
We'll come back next week.
We'll post the rules for the show. We have a month to figure it out.
You do. Here's something out of Oklahoma, which is sort of like Florida, but not at all. Halloween decorations gone too far? Maybe.
Dun, 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 dun.
Maybe.
One and now two victims.
Two bodies slaughtered in broad daylight. But wait, is this real?
No.
Hello, everyone. This is Melissa McCarty with Newsbreaker. Halloween decorations in the town of Mustang, Oklahoma, are stopping hearts and causing people passing by to panic. News 9 showing us two men who appear murdered, blood stained on the walls and ground, with attention to detail making this look like a real crime scene.
Right here, I put a pillow. Yeah. To kind of give it a real butt look.
The homeowner says he loves Halloween. It's just trying to make people laugh. What's the big deal? Local police say no one's laughing. Although nothing illegal is going on here, they've been fielding 911 calls from panicked residents and from those outraged, saying it's scaring the kids in the neighborhood. And as Halloween nears, the body count keeps rising. For the display, that is.
So yeah,
they've got more than one 911 call about this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Of course.
Well, if it's really upsetting, if it's that realistic, and the pictures I saw online didn't really look that realistic, but if it's really upsetting, maybe they could just save it for Halloween night, like for the trick or treaters, you know, and not just have it up for like a month being gory.
Yeah, but if it's up all month and you drive by, then you really have to know that it's kind of fake, right?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that people. I'm not surprised that some people complained, but I'm very surprised that anyone called 911 because from what I gathered from reading the article that accompanied this, the whole house was decorated for Halloween, like not just the gore. And I mean, context is everything, right? Like, I mean, if you see a house that's just like gravestones and cobwebs, and then there's some like spooky bodies like lying like they've been beheaded by the garage door, like, of course that's not real, you know. Context, people.
Yeah,
come on, Oklahoma.
Well,
sad.
They're afraid of stuff. Yep. You have to respect their fear, don't you? Respect respect
dead bodies
fear.
And books. Ah, science is going to get us.
Yeah.
All right.
You know,
wait, how did this become science?
I don't know. I'm just stereotyping.
No, could be.
It wouldn't, it's not a problem.
It's not really scary if we don't have Florida Corner, is it?
No, that's the scariest.
I'd like to say it's a Halloween edition, but it's not. It's just, well, every day is Halloween in Florida.
It's like Halloween Town.
Yeah, well, the maintenance worker carrying a hand drill caused a brief scare. at at Brandon Regional Hospital. The hospital placed on lockdown after the county sheriff received reports of a suspicious person in the facility around noon. Some patient family members tweeted and called media outlets saying someone at the hospital had a gun. However, a sweep of the hospital determined that the, quote, suspicious person was actually a maintenance worker with a drill.
Ah!
What is happening to us all? We're, like, calling 911 at the drop of a hat these days.
We need to ban drills was the answer.
Almost as if people think we live in a society where men with guns just come into public places and shoot things all the time. Where are they getting these ideas?
I don't know. It doesn't say, but I'm guessing it's probably a black guy with a drill.
That's funny because it's racist.
Well.
But it is Florida.
Because they're racist.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
All of those people.
Well, it's not just the men, it's the women, where a 19-year-old Florida woman was arrested last month for misdemeanor domestic violence.
Uh-oh.
After she allegedly...
Machete?
...launched...
An attack.
An unprovoked...
Oh.
...water pistol attack on her boyfriend.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Giovanna Borgia told cops that her beau, quote, said something to her that she did not like. So she took a water pistol and squirted him with water.
Wow.
That's how I discipline my cats.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does that work out?
It actually is the only thing. The spray of water is the only thing they pay attention to. Like, you can yell till you're blue in the face or try to reason with them. Spray of water works. I don't blame you, Giovanna, for giving it a try.
Well, during the ensuing confrontation, she added, her boyfriend, with whom she's dated, been with for a year, dumped a container of water on her and then struck her with a pillow. They apparently also exchanged shoves. Upon investigation, the Port St. Lucie Police Department officers concluded that she was the primary aggressor during the incident. As a result, she was arrested for squirting water on the victim to antagonize and agitate him against his wishes.
She had to go to jail because of a water pistol. Who called the cops?
That is the wussiest thing I've ever
heard. They do not say. Officers transported her in handcuffs from her Port St. Lucie home to the county jail, where she posed for a mugshot before being released. She has an October 30th court date, so... Yesterday.
That's so sad, because I know that, you know, when there's a domestic violence call, they have to take someone.
Yeah.
They have to take someone to jail. But I mean, the charges, it's like, and then he had a pillow and then she had a water pistol. Like, it just sounds so ridiculous. It's too bad the cops couldn't just walk away from that, you know?
Yeah. Well, now they can't, because they used to walk away and go, well, this is fine. But then people ended up dying.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because oftentimes it's not that simple.
Right, right. I get it.
This case is all wet. All right, I'm going to hang my head and walk out of the room. I know, that was just the most pointless thing I've ever said. Hands down.
Now, she's moderately mortified to admit it, but in mid-September, Stephanie Luff spent $150 on a custom Halloween costume that looked like Miley Cyrus's MTV Video Music Awards outfit.
Oh, the teddy?
Mm-hmm. But the Scottsdale, Arizona woman will not be wearing the foam number one fan finger and sleeveless leotard with a drunken teddy bear's face on it to her $50 per ticket Halloween party. Not just because she says it's really unflattering, but because the idea that seems so current in September has been rendered outdated and worse by the instant, incessant dissection of social media. This year, dressing up for Halloween has reached a specific internet-influenced turning point, just as Facebook photos and status updates replaced the need to physically show up at a high school reunion to see who transformed from an ugly duckling to a beautiful swan. So has social media made actually dressing up for Halloween almost passé. Mm-hmm. Costumes are celebrated and critiqued as fast as internet memes, bits of viral culture that quickly rise, then flame out.
Why does USA Today have to explain what memes are? Because no one on USA Today uses the internet?
Because many people who read USA Today are probably seniors.
Oh,
I would think.
Sorry, old people.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, continue.
So basically, the Spirit, you can get the Miley Cyrus costume at Spirit Halloween and many other places for almost a month now. So, yeah, it's like, oh, I spent $125 and now you can buy one. It's called the Twerkin' Teddy Adult Women's Costume for $40.
Oh, yeah. I guess she thought that she was going to be so on it that she would be one of the only people who had one.
But yeah.
And who would have ever thought to be a famous celebrity doing something ridiculous for Halloween?
Let me just break this to everybody. You're not as clever as you think you are. You're not.
That's why Ted and I went with classic costumes
this year. That's the best.
We didn't try to get on a trend.
She said, when I saw that they mass-produced one, I was really disappointed. I didn't think they'd have time to get it on the shelves. They were, like, making it while the show was on.
Aww.
They can make anything fast in China and cheap.
Right. So
send it here. Welcome to America.
Yeah, go ahead and
that's not America.
Yeah, I think maybe the most current Halloween costume, maybe Zombie Lou Reed. Too soon?
No. Okay. Somebody's definitely going to do
somebody's
that.
Somebody's going to be Zombie Lou Reed.
Do it cleverly. I don't know. Usually I don't like people making fun of the dead, but if there's a way to do it tastefully.
He'll have a Dirty Boulevard sign.
Yeah. No, I think that would actually be cool. That would work out. That would work out all right, I think.
Hmm. It's entirely possible.
All right.
Yeah. Here's something truly frightening for you. Experts predict we'll run out of chocolate in 7 years.
No! Oh my God, that is terrifying. Ted and I were both like, seriously, what would we do?
Well, let's start hoarding now.
Industry experts have claimed that there will come a time when the entire globe has run out of chocolate, and it may be a lot sooner than you think, because there are not enough cocoa plantations to feed demand. Worldwide production will apparently officially cease on October 2nd, 2020.
Here's what I think. I was actually telling this to Ted yesterday when we were discussing what we would do without chocolate. I think that, I don't know, I think a lot of chocolate is made inhumanely in Africa with what it pretty much amounts to a slave labor kind of situation. And I think that maybe a rehaul of the world's chocolate production is in order, but I don't think it'll really disappear. Maybe we'll make a switch to more like artisanal, expensive kind of local farm chocolate. And I mean, not that
farm chocolate.
Yeah. Not that farm. I mean, not that chocolate. Obviously here we would not have local chocolate because we do not have the climate, but I mean, smaller farmers, you know, producing a quality product. And I don't know, I think a lot of the world's chocolate is wasted on like crummy, waxy, bad, low quality chocolate. And I don't know, maybe we all just need to make it smaller and more humane and more delicious.
I think this is bullshit. I really do. This idea that they're going to stop chocolate production in 7 years is crap. It's as crap as the world's going to end on such and such a date, and then it doesn't.
Or global warming.
God's going to call Jerry Falwell home, or whomever it might be. I mean, whatever.
Oh, man.
Whatever. It's all I call shenanigans.
Oh,
that's right.
Wow,
that's right.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
They are.
Yeah, this not cheeky and fun. Anyway, apparently cocoa farms are being chopped down and turned into rubber plantations because they get a better yield. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't see it happening. And here's the funny thing: when you mention like African chocolate, if you go to say World Market, which I did, yeah, that's right, all in one place in Natomas.
So convenient.
If you wanted to buy, say, Ugandan chocolate or chocolate from any of these other places, it's like three times more expensive. Just buy a Hershey bar.
It's well, that's good. The point Becca's making. It's cheap chocolate made by underpaid slaves.
Well, then why is it more expensive?
No, I meant the Hershey's chocolate is. Wait.
I think it actually is. I don't know.
Slaves in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
No.
The cocoa bean part, yeah.
The bean pickers.
I think there's some really hinky stuff going on in the chocolate business, and I honestly should know more about it considering how much chocolate I eat and how I try to be like a humane consumer, but I'm a little... I don't know. I don't know that much about what's happening with chocolate. I need to learn more. But I agree with you. It's not like it's just going to be like chocolate party over now. Like there's not another bar in the world. Like they'll figure out a way to, you know, make it happen.
You can all just eat carob because it's just like chocolate.
No, it's not.
Remember when they used to try to pull that crap when you were little?
Yes. Who's and when you're carob? Vegan.
Oh.
but I think
when you're a little vegan.
Exactly. Oh, little vegan. I never was a little vegan though. I was already an adult. But I don't know. We can also just take a page from Nate's book. I mean, I don't think you've been eating much chocolate or candy at all for quite some time now.
Not a lot. I mean, I've had a little lately, but not that much. I mean, once you stop eating chocolate, you don't really crave it that much.
It's true.
If you break away from it, a lot of it is habit too. And I won't feed into the. And I know a lot of women are like, I need chocolate this time of the month. Okay, maybe you do. I don't know. I'm not a lady. I don't know. Maybe you do need chocolate. Not you,
well,
Becca, but you in general.
Not need exactly, but it certainly helps things along. It's delicious. And we almost brought Halloween candy tonight because it was the Halloween show, but we didn't want to like foil your discipline, oh, the no, way we've fine. Been foiling our own with these giant bags of candy around our house.
Yeah. That's fine. One of the runs I'm going to be doing, and I haven't signed
chocolate
up for
run?
It. It is. It's the hot chocolate run.
Oh. What's that?
The hot chocolate run is, they have them all over the country. I'm going to do the one in San Francisco on January 12th. And you can either do a 15K or a 5K. I'm going to do the 5, not the 15. It's a run for charity. They call it America's Sweetest Race. And one of the things they do is they have like a party and a post-run party. You can get post-race party in the nation has hot chocolate and fondue.
Chocolate fondue?
Well, yeah, of course.
Wow. That's fancy. I've only been to one chocolate fondue party in my whole life. Oh, no, and I had it at the Melting Pot once.
And the expo that they have beforehand, which is where you pick up the stuff the 2 days before, you get your packet of stuff with your race bib and the goodie bag, and you you get, amongst other things, chocolate and hot cocoa samples.
Mm. Yum.
So those, if you're listening anywhere, you can go ahead and look up where the races are, because they're all over the country. And I was looking, there's one in San Diego, but it's a week before another run that I want to do in Anaheim, and it's just too much. But yeah, Atlanta, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Denver, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Nashville, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, and St. Louis all do hot chocolate runs.
Dang, oh, yo.
I'm excited for you and your running plan. I think that's great.
Yeah, and anybody is welcome to join me. So the first one I'm doing is a turkey trot. And then I'm going to do, I have to sign up for the Flapjacks 5K in East Sac.
Cool. Well, you know, we'll be there at the Donut Dash.
There you go. Donut Dash coming up in March. So that's it for that. And now, normally we do small town news here, but oh no, go away. My computer did something. I hate when that happens.
Was it a ghost?
Sort of.
Who do you want to go away?
It was just a pop-up.
The computer ghost?
Made it go away.
Ooh.
This is something that Becca found.
Exorcism.
Our friend Gordy Little is an author, and he sees dead people.
Oh, but I got this. It was a tip from Hootie, beloved Hootie. Hi, Hootie.
Hi, Hootie.
Hello, Hootie.
Ace, stop clawing me.
Oh, who?
If he was a black cat, he wouldn't be doing that. So this aired on Mountain Lake Public Television, Mountain Lake PBS in Plattsburgh. It's an interview with Gordy Little.
About this little boy who drowned, how did he appear in the house?
His name was Vincent Olson. And anybody who lives near a North Country river knows they rise drastically in the spring and very often flood.
Is that true, Nate?
And the Saranac mm-hmm. River rages most springs.
Rages.
And he simply fell in. His little body wasn't found for 2 weeks. His parents grieved, the neighbors grieved, the fire department searched for that little boy. Soon after he drowned, his family members woke in the morning to see him standing in the hallway upstairs, encased in a beautiful, radiant white light.
Wow.
He just shows up when he feels like it. And it's like he's saying hello. One night he simply showed up sleeping on a love seat in our living room.
In Gordy's living room?
Yep.
So it just happens, and then he's gone.
And you've seen him yourself.
I have not personally seen them, but my family members have. Mm.
You mentioned your family members have seen ghosts. Would you please read a passage from your book, the one about your daughter Barbie's bedroom?
I would be delighted. Barbie was involved in a number of these stories, and her daughter on Long Island has been involved in a new generation of stories, if you will. Are you ready?
Yeah.
More than once, Barbie would come downstairs in the morning with a story that never varied. It always started with a feeling of foreboding when she went to bed.
Ooh.
Her room was dark, with the only light filtering in from the hallway through the louvers in her door. She'd always see shadows outside the door. Her fear would intensify when footsteps sounded. The doorknob would turn.
Was it Kay?
She would dive under the covers as the door opened and the footsteps continued around her bed to the other side. She'd then stop, and Barbie would actually feel the bed go down. Someone or something sat on it. Unable to speak or scream, Barbie would endure the terror as the unwelcome intruder eventually left the bed and walked out of the room. She said she was never touched by the ghostly guest, but was always shaken by the experience, which happened numerous times over the years she lived at home. Barbie's room soon came to be dubbed the ghost bedroom because of all the things that happened there.
Wow.
So you live in this house that actually has a ghost bedroom.
We dubbed it the ghost bedroom for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was this strange wailing, crying that happened long after I had written this story. And it was unknown to me how it could be possibly attached to the house. I like to investigate. And suddenly, when I interviewed somebody almost 10 or 12 years later, he said, I knew who that was. Those were my grandparents or whoever that lived in that house. And the mother, when she lost her little boy, never liked to show that she was weak. Never cried at the wake, never cried at the funeral, never cried in front of her kids. But they would awaken 1:30 in the morning and hear crying coming from that bedroom, which at that time was the master bedroom, when she would sit on the side of the bed and grieve for her lost little boy.
Why do you choose to remain in a house that you say is haunted?
I love it. I mean, this is tremendously fascinating for me. The house has been relatively quiet in recent years, and I don't feel threatened by it at all.
A chapter title that...
And that's Gordy Little's ghost story.
Wow, that is kind of spooky. But I could see how he's like, oh, I love it, because he doesn't actually see the ghost. His poor daughter is like in the ghost bedroom with the creepy ghost sitting on her bed and feeling terrified and coming downstairs saying she's terrified. And Gordy's like, this is fascinating. I wouldn't want to live in the ghost bedroom if I was a kid.
No, that would be a bad thing to do, to live in the ghost bedroom.
Want access to amazing grooming?
I do. Oh. Dang it, I wanted it.
Well, to amazing what?
Well, that's what happens when you use Spotify. Sometimes. Yeah, and sometimes Spotify plays a commercial message, and you sit there.
Worst.
It's fine if you're not doing your podcast at the same time.
I pay for it like a sap. That's the one thing I pay for at Netflix.
The one thing I pay for is Spotify.
Everything else
Netflix.
Is freaks.
Everything else I pirate. Hey, since it says commercial, hey, do us a favor this holiday season. Shop for the folks you love online. You're going to do that anyway. Go to NateDarlingShow.com. Click the Shop Amazon tab. And go to town there.
Do you think we could get Gordy's ghost story book there?
Oh, I don't know about
that. They sell anything on.
I don't know about that.
Oh.
I don't know if I would.
What is that?
Well, it was going to be something else. But this is Spooky Scary Skeletons from Andrew Gold.
It sure is.
To sign off this episode of The Nate Darling Show.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah, happy Halloween. We'll see you on Friday with a new show.
Be safe out there.
Shrieking skulls will shock your soul. Seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons speak with such a screech. You'll shake and shudder in surprise when you hear these zombies shriek.
We're so sorry, skeletons. You're so misunderstood. You only want to socialize,
but I don't think we should.
Cause spooky, scary skeletons shout startling, shrilly screams. They'll sneak from their sarcophagus and just won't leave you be. So unsafe, it's semi-serious.
Spooky, scary.